Welcome to Creating Cashflow for September 7th, 2025. Hello, hello. Good to see you all. I have a stack of questions. So we'll get started with Alex, who is an audiobook narrator, a cashflow tiger. Her win, her victory is that she's done 11 books so far this year. 12, if we count another that you're slated to record. Let's count it. So 12 books. And that's a leap forward from the eight the year before and three the year before that. That's a huge leap forward. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm
Congratulations.
glad you said that because when I saw it was eight last year, I was like, oh, okay, it's not that big of a leap. Like my brain already talked me out of the win.
No, that's like I
A
don't know
third, a
amount,
quarter.
but yeah, you're like you
Yeah.
triple, like yeah, there's like an
Yeah.
extra, yeah, it's good.
Thank
The
you.
math, I did the math and the math says it's really good. So
Girl, that was what? That math says I'm amazing.
yeah, that is great. Okay, so you are leaving for an event that takes place today. You're going to an audiobook mixer and you've had two people, non-narrators, text you to see if you're going and you're like, oh, that sounds so great. No, wrong, you say. My brain starts to worry about the responsibility of saying yes to that person, worrying that they'll cling to me like a barnacle on an old ship. I know we've discussed language around this before, but I'm blanking. Can you give me some language on the off chance that it kind of occurs? You walk in, you see the person, and you're like, oh no, now they want to stay with me the whole time. Here's what I would do. So you walk in, you see them, you're doing the chit chat. And then when you're feeling like, okay, we're good with this, then you can say, you know, it's so good to see you. Or as tempting as it would be to hang out with you this whole time, and I'm tempted, I promise myself I would circulate. So wish me luck. And then you go.
Yeah.
Is very simple, like, oh, it's so good to see you. But I promised myself that I would circulate today, and I've got to do it. Wish me luck.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah. Because, yeah. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's old wiring. But I just, yeah, having language around kindly extracting myself is useful.
Yes, and the reason it's good to have these kind of little phrases in your pocket and little questions, other little questions to ask other people in your pocket is because you want to go to a networking event with the energy of like, happy to see everybody, happy to be here, like happy rather than, oh God, please don't come up to me, like that kind of mixed energy.
Well, since you brought it up, do you have, I don't have anything in my back pocket for like questions to ask. Like, I'm such an extrovert that I just want to like hug everybody and like, you know, take it all in. And so I don't really come armed with questions,
Yeah,
but
because you're an
should
extrovert.
I? Yeah.
You're an extrovert. In this world, you have a lot of like muscles and leverage just naturally gifted,
Okay.
whereas us introverts have to do something to not leave after 5 minutes.
Got it.
Speaking for
Got
all
it.
the
Yeah.
introverts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I know where
have
I'm at.
fun
Okay.
and know I want you to just to have this air of happy to be there and super confident that you can get away from any barnacles.
And it's just if I let myself, I would talk to you all night, but I promised myself that I would mingle and mix with other people. So as much as I want to talk to you, I'm gonna force myself to do this right now.
Yeah, you're sort of saying like, oh, this is cozy, like this is lovely. So they feel good. You know, like this is tempting. I'm tempted to stay here, but I promised myself that I would like circulate. So wish me luck. And that sort of gets them to send you off. Okay, good luck. Like they're actually releasing you if you ask them to wish you luck.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Very helpful. Very
Good
helpful.
question.
Thank you.
Good question. You're welcome. Have fun. Cricket, are you there?
I am
All
here.
right. I don't know if anybody else, I got everybody's questions today. But I think they must have changed something on the form that you fill out where you don't necessarily get a reply email. I don't know. But so far, trust that I'm getting the questions. Glitch in the matrix. So, Cricket, Victories. You're really proud of yourself for the way you handled the meeting with the first potential client that we're going to talk about. Because once you realized, oh, he has an issue that kind of has to be resolved before I can necessarily help him, you were able to recognize that. Lean on language already in your contract. Yes. And then cite film festival regulations as well. So you're really proud of yourself for not jumping into it just to like, oh yes, I'll take you as a client no matter. Yeah. You sussed it out. And that's a great point. The reason, one of the many reasons it's very helpful to write out an agreement for you to give to clients is that you formulating your policies and formulating your language so that when you're having conversations, you know what your language and policies and how you work are. You've codified it for yourself, not just for the other person. So I love that that came in handy. And you also, Victory, fought imposter syndrome and a case of the lazies and submitted a big proposal to South by Southwest Film Festival to teach a workshop. Woo!
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. You have two questions. Oh, and for everybody, Cricket is a cash flow tiger and she's a film festival educator and strategist. She has years and years and years working in this niche. Question one regarding client. Potential client I've been in contact with for over a year reached out for a meeting that I thought would be the one where we'd set up his appointments. Instead, it turned into a 1 hour consultation to address some legal issue that he's run into with his director. And the main thing is, I can't do a festival consultation until he has full legal rights to his material. He says he wants to do the full package, which includes 4 consultation hours. So I said, hey, okay, great. Let's apply this hour to that package. But of course, after the call ends, as anyone would, you had second thoughts of like, oh, wait, I don't know if he'll actually come back, if he can actually get the full legal rights and resolve that problem so he can hire you. And then your question is, can I bill him for an hour now after telling him the other plan? That's a little sticky since you did say, like, oh, we can just use this as that. You can bill him. The way you would bill him if you really wanted to would be to wait 2 months and say, hey, I wanted to circle back with you because I'm happy to include that consultation we did with a package if that package is actually going to happen. But if you think it's going to take a little longer to resolve the issue, or then I can act, we can just tidy things up and I can bill you for that hour. You could do that.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So
That
wait
sounds
like
good.
2 months and then be like, hey, because your consultation is worth money, your time is worth money. And you might not get the money, he might ghost you or whatever, but worth a try. So I amend my initial response. But coming back to that initial response is sometimes in some circumstances when we sort of say something that says one thing, it's hard to go back and be like, oh, I thought about it and I really want the money. In your case, I think you can do that with him. But in most cases, it would be a no, but let's look at how you would have that conversation again and not hang up the phone and go, oh, is you would say, so this ha you know has what we ta did what we talk about today, was that helpful? Has it given you some clarity? Like you just get them to affirm that this has been helpful and got close. Oh yeah, that was really great. I'm so frustrated. I'm like, yeah. And there's no need for you strategically, it wouldn't be financially great for you to buy a full package now until you get the legal stuff resolved. So why don't I bill you just a la carte for this hour? And then when you're ready, we can move forward. So You can do things like that with people.
Okay.
A caveat to that, though, would be how was this conversation started? Because if he thought he was just coming on for a chat, and then you're like, I'm billing you for a session hour, he was amenable to you adding it to the package. That's like down the road.
Right.
But I think my initial response of no is because I'm wondering how this conversation act, the context in which it started.
It's really interesting because he's somebody who is he's been working for a long time on this project, and he is a professional actor, but this is the first time that he's been involved in producing anything. And he I think that the conversation, I think he honestly had no idea what a difficult situation he was in. Like he
Right,
did
but what
say,
I'm asking you is how was this set up? Like, let's chat for 20 minutes. If you haven't, like, was it just a kind of feeling you
there
out?
was no time limit set. I thought it was going to be a 20-minute chat, but it was not put in writing. I hadn't questioned it because
What?
he had, the last time we emailed, he said, I'll get back in touch with you when I'm ready to book.
Okay. And so I think in your mind and his mind, this was sort of this free call where you set up the appointment and say you're going to book. I'm just wondering how he's going to feel when you're billing him for a session that he might not have known he was having.
Right.
It would be like you and I, if you were like, I'm thinking about working with you, I'm like, great, let's do like a 20 minute, and you can ask me whatever. And we did. And then you had this thing where it was like, oh, this is a bigger problem. You don't need me. You need a therapist. And I would be like explaining why. And it would be an hour long call. And then I billed you for it. You would be like, oh, I just thought you were like help talking to me. Like, I'm not sure you would be prepared for me to treat it as a billable session. That is my initial thought. Because I initially wrote down no on the paper. Because I think so. There's two options. You can bill him in 2 months or so, or you can just take this as one of those like learning lessons.
I think what I need to do is be really clear in email, in writing. This is a 20-minute session. If it goes over 20 minutes, I have to start billing you.
It's not even a session. Oh, yeah. This is, I'm happy to have a 20-minute conversation with you. If there's a topic that you feel we have to explore right away and it our conversation exceeds 20 minutes and you're okay with us talking, I will bill you for the time. That's okay. You can totally do that. Yeah. And yeah, I like that. I like that.
I think I need to protect myself because people start talking about what their worries and concerns are, and of course I want to be helpful, but 20 minutes turned into an hour really quickly.
It's so funny. I was just about to say, I held myself back from saying, until you get really good at nipping things in the bud and being able to wrap it up in 20 minutes, then having that language for you and them ahead of time is probably going to help protect you because you do have a big heart. But what you do is you watch the clock, you let them talk, oh, blah, 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 blah. You're getting information, and then you go, you know what? We have 5 minutes left. And I see that you have so many questions, which is great. And if we were to work together, I would want to talk to you about this. I think we could explore this. And I definitely have stuff to say. You say what you could say instead of saying it. You tell them what you would basically be talking about in your first conversation. So, and then you say, you know, so if you want to dig into that stuff, that's great. Right now, for my caregiver program, I am experimenting with a 45-minute intro, like free. You can talk to me 45 minutes because I know caregivers and they're going to talk for the first half hour. I'm not going to, they're just going to like, they're going to tell me everything, or I'll ask a few questions and the whole story. And they need that kind of time. And God, they want to talk to somebody. But what's great about that is that I'm listening for like, ooh, I would talk to them about this. We need to explore this. I'm just going through all the things, but I will not be saying any of that to them. I will be saying in my 15 minutes, I really hear you on this. This is a muscle we could build together. Let me tell you about how someone else in the program has that. Like, just saying like, oh God, I'm filling up. Like, wow, we could have six more conversations, or these would be like the six questions you should ask on your first six group coaching calls. So they're kind of primed to know that there's guidance available. The old me would have totally just given it to him. Because I recognize you so hard in me, but you have to tame your big heart or it will bleed you poor.
All right. That's helpful. I
Cool.
think that's probably the way to go. I don't really feel comfortable billing him, but I do wish I
Right. But
had.
this is a, that issue is a you issue, not a him issue. It wasn't like he asked you for advice and then thought it was free. It was all you. Kate, what did you have your hand up for?
Yeah, I had a thought about how to handle the current situation. And I'm wondering what you think about it, Christine. So it sounds like Cricket said to him, I'm going to include this is a billed hour, but you're going to pay for it within the package. So it occurs to me that this week you can send an invoice that says, four session package, $400 or whatever. First hour, 9125, $100. Or an invoice format that acknowledges everything done, but then, a due date in the future, a due date in 90 days, or a due date in 120 days, or due date, to be confirmed in 90 days. So that you're making a written statement of the current status. And then that might be helpful when you come to follow up. What do you think?
I'm wondering if it would just raise confusion on his part of like, wait, what are you giving to me a bill? Like, I think I would be confused if I got that. I would have to double check of like, so this is not a bill or whatever. But you could state that clearly. However, Kate brings up a point that you guys did agree at the end of this that it was a paid session. I forgot that point. So you can totally, then I would bill him in 2 months. I forgot you guys actually, you said okay. And he said okay.
He did. He said, Cricket, I'm gonna need so much help from you. And I said, I understand, and you
Great.
should do this package, and I would like to include this hour as one of the ad hoc consultation hours. And he agreed.
I don't think what Kate proposed, there was nothing wrong with that. I think, though, the approach I suggested feels more like you're doing him a favor instead of, which is sort of like, hey, I'm circling back and you don't have to do the whole thing right now, but let's just keep it clean and you can take care of this 1 hour and then we'll have it.
And also it would be a good time to check in because he may have an update and he may
Yeah,
be
you can
able to move
say
forward.
if you're ready, we can move forward with this. But if you want to put that on hold or need to legally, yeah, let's just do this. And then you don't have to worry about when we should start.
And I could also send it under the guise of I'm closing out my billing for the year.
I love it. Yes, always good. Speaking of which, this leads into your second question
Oh,
perfectly.
yes.
Okay. One of the nonprofits I've been working with hired me to give a lecture and meet with four to six of the clients, all to be done in August and September. I did the lecture already, and I've been waiting for the meetings, which are contingent on the filmmakers being done with their films. None of those meetings have happened yet, so I'm wondering how to communicate a timeline with them. I have some blackout dates, plus I don't want this to linger on too long. No, especially if it's supposed to be wrapped up by September. So I would say that. I would say something like, "Hi, I'm circling back because I'm coordinating my schedule for the rest of the month, and I want to make sure I have time to honor these meetings. But in order to do that, I need a, timeline for you. Do you think they're all going to be done the last week of this month, or dot dot dot?" And everyone listening, you can use that kind of phrasing like, "I'm coordinating the rest of my schedule for the rest of this month, or the rest of this quarter, or the fall, or the rest of this year," as the reason, as the context for why you need this information from them. And what Cricket said earlier, like, "I'm closing out my billing for the year." That's always a good one.
All
Good
right, that's
job.
really
Good
good.
job.
Good stuff. Christine, can I just make one final statement to the group and the recording? What happened to this guy was that classic case of he was working with a friend. They didn't have a contract at the beginning. They were way down the road when the contract finally got signed, and he signed it without consulting an attorney. So the friendship's over. The work situation is problematic, and just like everybody get a contract. Especially when working with friends.
100%. Miata and I were already very close friends, and we had thought about doing this project together. We were going to film some stuff. It actually never happened for just timing and zeitgeist reasons. We're like, but we wrote a contract with each other. We wrote a contract, and we were like really good friends. But it was like, if we do this project and one of us no longer kind of wants it, does the other person get the title? Do they get the material? What do they owe the other person? If like, and it's easiest to negotiate all of that when you are friends. Yeah, it's so unfortunate. So is it that he just signed away control or rights or what?
It's a very odd situation, and it is essentially that the director had written in a certain level of ownership and ability to send it to film festivals. But then there's an odd statement about delivery, final delivery. So the director has already sent it to about a dozen film festivals when it was a work in progress, which is absolutely against my practices. And it took a long time to unpack like what was actually going on. That's part of it too. Like it was not a simple question for me to answer. I was like, "So what has happened? Where has she sent it? Give me, do you have a list? Okay, wait, when did she send it? Hold on, you didn't finish the film until last week and she sent it to that festival 6 months ago." Like I was literally being a private detective. It really was work. And so, but I think I need to be clearer about what stating what something is going into it, and at what point I need to start billing, because I think he will pay me.
I
He's
think so too.
a working actor. He's really concerned. He's been he just made a mistake. He made a rookie mistake.
Okay. Good. Thank you for sharing that. I always like hearing those kind of stories because it just reaffirms the contract, the agreements, the thing. I spent f over $400 on a lawyer going over this contract for something last fall, and I ended up not doing it because he's like, this contract is horrible that you're being offered. And it was just sort of like a take it or leave it thing because I came back with all my changes and they were like, no. And like, oh, okay. But that's what you have to do to save yourself a lot of pain down the road.
And while I was on this Zoom with him, I dug up my contract because I knew festivals were going to require that whoever's submitting the film has the absolute right to submit the film. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's in my contract, but let me go find it and make sure, because then I could say no until and really rest on that. So that was good. Anyway, I know
Good
you have a
job.
bunch of questions today, but thank you. It's so nice to see you and so nice to see everybody.
Always good to see you too, Cricket. Absolutely. I hope the novel is going well. Lydia,
Thank you.
I have not forgotten. Lydia, who is going to talk about her huge victory, which is she has a meeting with her dream voiceover agent. Very exciting. Are you there, Lydia?
Drive.
Pardon? I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm here in my drive.
Are you're driving? Kate, can you find out? We're
It's
gonna go to.
the connection's not very good. Lydia, if you can send me a message in the chat if you're not driving and let us know what's happening.
Well, I'll try, but I will circle back. Beth, are you there?
Hi,
Hello.
I'm here. When I'm on my iPad, I have to figure out what button to push to unmute.
You unmuted. You six. You're
I
unsuccessful.
unmuted. And I'm like a bug in the grass here,
I
and I
know
don't
you are.
remember. I don't even remember how I did that.
All right. Beth is a lawyer. She's a
Jeez.
cash flow tiger. She's a pretty cat. I don't know. I would wonder about that. So here's what you wrote to me. You wrote, "I'm trying to keep my head above water for 2 years until I reach full retirement age." You're an immigration lawyer, and many immigration lawyers are giving up, and fired judges who've been fired are looking for contracts, meaning to do the work that you do.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get writing assignments in within immigration law. Yeah, they're offering to work for firms. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your question?
I guess my question is, it's gotten my income's really precarious right now because the reason is things have slowed down a bit and the government's made it much harder for every case. So I'm trying to figure out how to make it work and keep paying my bills. I considered taking early Social Security, but I can raise my Social Security if I include my 2025 and 2026 earnings. So I'd like to do that. I had considered that as one option. And the other thing is, once I reach full retirement age, I can earn as much as I want. I still have to pay taxes on it, but if you take Social Security before full retirement age and you earn over like 24,000 a year from your own money, you have to pay it back, which is stupid. So there's no reason for me to do that. Even if I always used to be able to run out and get some kind of a job. There were even times when I sort of hid and pretended to be a legal secretary when I was younger, if I needed extra money. I don't know whether that's still an option. I thought about going back and doing extra work. I'm in Atlanta, so it's not unionized here, so the compensation is lower. But I mean, I'm sure there are things I could do to make extra money. But the thing is, if anybody's not going to quit, I shouldn't quit right now because I have more than 30 years of experience and I should be a role model.
Yes. And so the questions to be asking, well, first of all, are your I am absolutely ignorant about how this works, the law, the world of the law, but are your skills transferable to another specialty
I mean,
outside of immigration?
yes, the issue though is that I'm living in Georgia. I'm not licensed in Georgia. I'm licensed in California. And one reason I like immigration law is that I can live anywhere and do this because it's federal. And also, I've developed a certain expertise in it. And I have potential for it to grow. I've been doing sports immigration and I have a couple leads on ways I could expand my practice. But it, I did end both July and August making about 7,000 for the month each month, which is not terrible. But before I had a few thousand come in at the end of August, it was really bad. And it was more earlier in the year, including I have one client that owes me money, hasn't paid me, and I'm crossing my fingers. We're relying on a coach to come in from Italy, but his visa interview's on Wednesday, and I prepped him, and I hope it gets approved because that's a big part of this one club's business. And another club owner approached me about project to bring in top level coaches to start new clubs. So I have the potential to develop more business. It's just, I'm trying to reorganize my business so that I can do more business development and have my I have a one contract paralegal and one remote associate in India, and have them draft the things that are not that hard so that I can focus on other things. Because I've been doing a lot of secretarial and paralegal work myself, and I need to change my focus. And the thing is, I referred the remote associate to another firm because I didn't have the cash flow. And she worked for them intensely for a couple of months and now is back, and she's willing to help me with administrative things, and she's top notch. So I think that could help me significantly. And
One of the things you can do in response to the climate and the economic climate right now is to change your billing practices, where maybe you're getting more money up front than it used to be. So that's one way you can do it, is change your billing. The other way is to keep asking yourself, who has not only the money to pay me, but a strong desire to do this process, and money's not the problem. The problem is they really want to get this done. So like the sports teams and the people who really, because you want clients who have the money to pay you, and you want more of that money up front. So you're not like, oh, I wonder if that person's going to actually pay. It's like, well, no, that is okay when times are more solid, but in these times you want the money. And then it is about you carving out more time to connect with the lucrative potential people, like the sports world, and it just look around at like who needs this kind of work and who has the money to pay for
So
it.
I actually got something potential through my sister-in-law, who has started her own business in Atlanta providing support services to seniors in the community. And she's organizing a group to provide support services for the 2026 FIFA games. And she included me on that committee. So that is one possible source.
And then my question with that would be, what is a similar type of thing connected to the Olympics that's going to happen?
Well, the fencing coaches. So the guy coming in from Italy is going to help. If he gets in, he's going to help prepare the USA men's national fencing team for the 2028 Olympics. So this is a big. It's important for this. And then the top level coaches that the other club wants to come in. I don't know whether he's anticipating them preparing athletes for the 2028 cycle, but probably.
So what if your specialty within a specialty was helping coaches immigrate to train clients in the US? Like that.
Well, that is what we've been doing, but so far it's only been fencing. But
But you take the fact that you've helped the fencing coach, and you go around and connect with the other different the track and field people, the swimming people, the other people, the volleyball people, and be like, hey, if you need a, if I'm your gal.
30 years.
And
I'm and I'm trying to get out and network more, because Atlanta is actually a really good social place for that. There are a lot of community events and a lot of things to do, and I'd like to be able to do more of that and less doing the secretarial work myself.
So I think the general networking is always good because you never know when people hear about what you specialize in, what they'll do. But then I also think that targeting outreach on your behalf, I mean, just, hi, I want you to know I exist because I am doing this for other organizations,
Yeah, and
yours.
I need to update my website. I still have my stuff from LA, and I
Yeah.
haven't even updated my website to reflect that I do sports immigration. So,
Oh, 100%. Your whole thing should be sports immigration.
well, it's not the only thing I do.
No,
I do
but I mean,
other
it
things,
should be
but
front and center.
yeah, I need to redo my website, definitely.
So here, Beth. So, and this is for everybody because I totally understand. And it happens at different periods in your business life where you're like, oh, I've got to make some changes. I've got to do some outreach. Where do I find the time? Because all my time feels like it's just spent running the business.
Well, not just running the business, but I'm having to do more complicated responses to the government on cases because they've made approvals a lot harder.
Of course they have. Yes. Right. So this other work, though, the outreach, the marketing, the website stuff, you have to find like 4 days every single month where you're like, these are 4 work days at just devoted to this stuff and banging some of it out. And you can't think of those 4 days as like, I'm going to do all my regular work days and I'm going to for like weekend. No, it has to be just four of your
Yeah,
work
and I do
days.
tend to think, I mean, right tomorrow I have a deadline, and then I have something else that's coming in that I have to respond to that I don't even have yet, and a couple other things. But I do tend to think of Mondays and Fridays in terms of admin work. So maybe I could just use, since I tend to kind of finish early on Fridays, maybe I could try to focus Fridays for admin work.
For marketing.
Yeah.
And it's good to have like the whole day for it so you don't have to switch gears. Switching gears slows you down
Yeah.
and uses extra energy. So if like the whole day you can devote to it, and it could even just be like the first 3 Fridays of the month, and then you have if you need a Friday for something else. But don't also, this is for everybody. Do not blend admin and marketing. Oh, admin, and then I'll do marketing. No, it's two separate things. Admin's banging out to-do tasks, and marketing is like writing and thinking and making proposals and getting yourself out there. It's two different activities that people, I think, chunk a lot together. And then if you do that, if you mush them together, the marketing does not get done because the admin feels more urgent. And the marketing is important, but not necessarily urgent. But then you feel the pain when you're like, I don't have any new clients.
Right.
Yeah. Good questions, Beth. Here's the good news. You are at the top of your field. You do have so much expertise. You are so close to the finish line. And the particular work you're doing, people cannot do it without a top-notch lawyer these days because the government is trying to make it so hard. So you
Yeah.
just push yourself out there and be like, you need me. You need me. Well, you need somebody like me, and there's only a few of us to cut through all of this and get you where you want to go on this immigration path. And you just have that confidence.
Yeah, and then the other thing is I'm ch actually chairing the U.S. S Citizenship and Immigration Services Liaison Committee for the Georgia-Alabama chapter of the American Immigration Lawyers Association this year. So we're coordinating webinars, and they've refused to talk to us. And then the latest is they're actually going to be allowed to carry guns for interviews. Like, we're not going to grant you. Bam!
Jesus, what's going on?
It's
What's going
just
on?
crazy. It's
You're
just
really
crazy.
on the front lines of seeing all
Well,
this.
yeah, and this thing that happened with the Hyundai plant, our chapter president has asked us all to go to Savannah for a couple of days this week. But the latest thing I read is South Korea is sending a plane to rescue their people. So maybe there won't be so much to do. Maybe they'll cut a deal and let those guys get on the plane and go back home.
Jeez. Yeah, we live are living in horrible times right now, really
Yeah,
crazy times.
crazy. But I mean, the thing to do is cut through it and cut through the fear and rise to the occasion and
Yes.
not hide or run.
Beth, couldn't said it better myself. I'm
Yeah.
glad you're out there helping people through this.
Thanks. It's just that, like, I've got to find a way to make it survive. And actually, one way
Yes.
I did it in LA is I would do occasionally, I would like one or 2 days a week leave the office and go do extra work, and I get a completely different perspective. So
Yeah.
I'm not ruling that out. I could do that too.
Yeah. And it's fun. It clears out the cobwebs. It just gets
Yeah.
you looking at a new horizon. I'm all for that, definitely. All right. Godspeed.
Okay, thank
Keep
you.
at it. You're welcome. Lydia, hello.
Hello, I'm not driving anymore.
Awesome. So much better. I get nervous when I'm talking to people who are actually actively driving. I'm like, I don't want to hear the accident happen. So, huge victory. You're meeting with your dream voiceover agent. Congratulations. That's fantastic. And yeah, you are correct. Whether or not they want to work together, it's a big win in and of itself.
Me, 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 me.
Yes. Okay, so you've asked a friend who recently signed with them, like, what was the meeting like? So you have an idea of what to expect. And you're struggling with how to answer the age-old. So tell us about yourself. I know that part of this is a professional answer and part of it is personal. They even said in their email that this is to get to know you and your goals. So how do you combine it into a non-rambly, oversharing mush? Yes, please. I'm glad you are thinking about trying to avoid that. So some things that you thought about bringing up, bullet points. You're from a military family. So you traveled the world and you grew up in England and Scotland. Your mom is a Russian Jewish immigrant. You are a former dog trainer, and the agent you're meeting with bonded over your love of dogs. That's really cool. You're a non-binary demigirl. I mentioned this in my email to them and in my research. I know that this is a category they need to fill up more. What is that category of what's I've never heard the term demigirl.
It's so under the non-binary umbrella, it just basically means I don't fully renounce being a woman. I don't feel androgynous, but I don't fully identify with being a woman. So it's
Okay.
the non-binary spectrum.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. And you are an on-camera theater actor, turned VO 5 years ago. You've done everything from commercials, toys, audiobooks, Bridgerton experience, in-show narration, indie animation, corporate narration, podcasts, etc. So, okay. So,
And there's one more thing to add.
yes.
I went back, so I did. So the person I bonded with and that I'm directly having the meeting with is the commercial voiceover agent there. Though I do know they like to have people work in many different genres. I've met the interactive agent at a previous workshop. And so I went back to my notes and she talked about how important it is to pitch yourself in that. So tell us about yourself, that it is like the pitching. So the professor, so yeah, I'm in that like, wait, how much is personal? How much is professional? I know it's,
Yeah, it's professional.
Okay.
It's professional because the reason they want to get to know things about you is that is going to help them match you with projects. It helps them pitch you to people. It helps have fun facts about, like, it's all professional. The only reason they want to know you personally is so that is stuff that can help them as they try to connect you with work. So, if they do a kind of like, so tell us about yourself, I would say, oh, there's so much, but I decided, but let me start with five things that I know will help you like pitch me or match me with projects. And then I would just number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. It gives structure.
Okay.
It gives, first of all, it gives structure. Second of all, you're immediately communicating to them that you're not going to talk forever. You've got five things.
Okay.
Like, I'm not just going to launch into a monologue that's just going to, I'm going to lose my place and we'll go down tangents. Like, and three, you actually thought about it. And you thought about it in a professional context of let me give you information about me that will help you place me in the market. And that's a good phrase you could say. You know, there's so much. I've lived a full life, but here are the top five things that I think will, you know, be good for you to know, might help you place me in the market.
Okay.
That's a great phrase. Like,
Okay.
and then the things you've listed are great and very interesting things. What you would want to say is to say the thing and then say why that might help. Like, oh, but then for this, like for the,
So, like growing up in the military, I like had a Scottish dialect as a kid, and then I've worked with a dialect coach. So I have a natural Scottish dialect, and
exactly.
same with the British. And okay.
And then you can throw in if it's true, like, and I actually have a really good affinity for picking up other stuff. Yeah. Like exactly like that. You state the fact and then you say, you just weave it nicely into, and this is why it's important for you to know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And
And
then
I wouldn't be surprised. Don't worry if you don't get to do all five, because on the third one or the second one, they might start asking you questions because they're interested, and then time might run out, and you just go, "That's okay." Leave people wanting, you know, if they're like, "Oh, we didn't get you to your last two," you go, "Oh, I like to leave people wanting more." So that's for a
yeah.
future conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine, but you have the communication of that you thought of five specifically because it will help them really communicate so much to them and puts them at ease to receive what you have to say versus like, okay, this person's going to start talking and now I have to work to sift through what's valuable and what's not valuable.
Yeah. Okay. How do I include in that the part of the work that I've done? Or is that one of the things that they follow up?
Oh, what do you mean? I
So
would
like,
definitely.
okay, so five, so it'd be like military brat, like how, at
The
what,
military family and the accent is great. The on-camera theater actor, the fact that you've done like everything, that's really important to know. You're like, you're super flexible, and I'm not scared of being like thrown things. I'm like, I love that. So I'm definitely like game and
okay.
feel confident, you know, being spontaneous and being and having to pivot. That's a good word. You know, I'm really comfortable having to pivot. I'm really comfortable taking directions. I've done so much work in so many different areas.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what about the for being a former dog trainer relates to?
I just did a job for a toy. I'm the voice of the target dog bullseye for a toy, where I got to bark, and it's and basically be and they were like, "Wow, you're so good! It's so realistic!" And so I got.
Okay, so you should say that. And you'd say, okay, so number three is the fact that I'm a former dog trainer, which is a weird thing that you think would, I would never think it would connect to this job. But in fact, I just received praise on how realistic my barking is because of the time I said, like, you know, you're so it's funny, so it's thing, but you're always saying, this is something about me and this is how it relates
Okay.
to this career. And relates in a way that makes me a better voivoiover person.
100%.
So I have spent so many times with dogs that I feel fully confident I can embody one should the need arise. Like, that's good for them to know.
Yeah. And it makes me very good at all the pet spots because there's the love.
So you've got the accent thing with the military. You've got the former dog training. You already have established the non-binary dream demi girl, because they need that category. And the fact that you've done all of that other kind of work, that's another one. So you just need one other little fact that relates to voiceover.
Would you separate out?
You could do the top four. That's plenty. Just do top four. And if you think of something else while you're in the
Then
car,
fine.
five. Now, for everybody listening, this is such a good question. And I really like the way Lydia is thinking of, like, I know this isn't just a get to know me meeting. The agenda here is, am I a good fit for them? Am I somebody that they need? What do I bring? You're basically telling them what you bring to the table. I love that you asked a friend, like, hey, what's the intel on the meeting? If you guys can do that ever, that's great to be able to do. You want to stay open and flexible in case your meetings are different, but it's good to have the intel if you can get it. And you are going to set yourself apart simply by doing two, by avoiding two things. One, the long tangential mishmash of a monologue about you. And oh, three things. You'll avoid that monologue, which means that you're letting them not have to do the work of sifting through the monologue. That sets you apart. And then the third thing is, oh God, what was the third thing? I had another thing. Okay. Oh, yes, is you're avoiding the, like, can I make a narrative of myself that makes you like me? That's not why you're telling the story. They don't want to know about you, but that's how 80%, probably a little bit more, of performers do it when they're like, tell me about yourself. It's like, I'm going to try to create this narrative that makes you want to like me. That's not what they're here for. They want to know if they can do business with you. And as if people just, you can all look around in the world. People do business with assholes because they can do business with, they're doing business. They'll put up with the assholery. But women, often women come from the angle of like, well, if they like me, they'll want to do business with you. It's like, well, the liking's the bonus, but they want to do business with you. So you tell them about yourself in a very business way. That's also fun and charming because they're also seeing if, like, they like you and you have a good personality.
Okay. May I ask two clarifying questions? At the mindset call, I brought up that someone, a casting director, wrote a very, very, very kind email.
Oh, right. And you're like,
When
oh no, now I have to live up to that.
but so basically, I told her that I got this meeting with them. She was like, "Oh my God, do you want me to send a nice word about you?" I was like, "Yes." And it's like multiple paragraphs being like, "Lydia's talented, Lydia's delightful, Lydia's so hardworking," and like ended it with like, "She's a sure thing for you guys." Do I bring that up at all, or do I just let that exist in them? Okay. And
You
then
absolutely let it exist.
let it exist. And then do I separate out my previous work as like a on-camera theater improv performer versus voiceover work I've done, or is it all in the performance work?
I think it's all in the performance work. I think it all speaks to the fact that you could do anything. Like, you have all the experience. What experience does, even if it's not in the exact thing you're doing, it just, you've solved problems, you've handled challenges, you've recuperated from setback. It's just experience that you bring to the table.
Thank you so much,
You're so
Christine.
welcome.
This
I'm
was...
so excited for you.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I'm losing my shit. But I'm very Thank you so much.
And the victory is truly that you're being considered. You getting it. There's variables there that have nothing to do with your talent, nothing to do with anything that you can control. So the victory is actually, oh, you are good enough, but you are like, you have enough and have come reached a level where they're actually considering you. It means you're in the fucking mix. All you want to do is be in the mix, and then luck has to take over.
And then it's out of my hands. I'm just doing everything I can to be so, like, I'm figuring out good questions to ask because I know that that was a big thing. And like, I've got my little spreadsheet of all the different people I've worked with so far. And yeah.
And it's okay to have notes. You can write your five things down so you don't forget. Like, that's fine. You can, it's preparation. Everybody, the thing is, by now, one would hope, we all understand that people have different learning styles and people have different things. I mean, back in the day, it was like you had to be a certain way. And I think now we're all relaxed. Hopefully, the spectrum, everything is a spectrum, which is how it is, but we're recognizing that. So if you have notes, that's not like a t oh, she didn't memorize her four things. Like, no. So have notes if you want. And what you're doing for the meeting is exactly what a performer does for the role. You prepare, 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 and then kind of throw it away, meaning the meeting doesn't have to go exactly as you think. You just are prepared if they ask you that question. And if they don't ask it directly, you can weave this stuff in organically
100%.
because you're prepared. Preparation, as everyone has heard, like especially in acting class, like preparation allows you to then be flow and spontaneous and pivot and bounce back and be personable and joke around because you've got all your pockets are just stuffed with like anything you can pull.
Thank you so much, Christine. I really appreciate your help.
You're really welcome. And it's like everybody on talk shows, they've prepped their stories and anecdotes with a pre-interview before. It's not like they just come out and they're just so charming and so funny. And some people who go on like the talk show circuit, they have writers who write up little jokes that they can throw in if they want. Like it's a performance. It's crafted, it's prepared for so that they go out and be loose. Because if they didn't prepare, they would look a little more nervous likely and be tighter. Looseness comes from the preparation. Cool. All right. So Ileana, now Ileana has a question that we're going to dive into. And Sheila, hi, Sheila, you're not here with us, but your question I'm going to answer last. I'm going to try to answer with you not being here. But a lot of what we're going to say with Ileana and the way she's pitching herself would be similar to some of the stuff I would talk to you about, of you wanting to pitch your work to people. So I think that this conversation with Ileana will be very informative for you. So cool. Ileana is a cash flow kitten in this particular side biz of you're educating non-traditional earners on how to use the financial planning and tracking software. You need a budget. So what you wrote is Miata's idea was a partnership between Abundance Bound and You Need a Budget, where you, Ileana, would create a curriculum based on the Abundance Bound principles that could be taught to You Need a Budget users who are non-traditional earners. So You Need a Budget would then have this information that they could teach however they wanted to, hopefully via video starring you, that would be in partnership with Abundance Bound. And You Need a Budget is a very education focused as a company, so you're keeping that idea on the table, but would also be interested in starting with a straight solo consulting contract where I give You Need a Budget insight on their current strategy for a fee. Because as we talked before, they're not really tapping into this non-traditional market. And it's just like money on the table. and maybe creating content for teaching, creating content or teaching an Abundance Bound class that could come out of that. So either way, you're like, any mix of this stuff would be great. But I think I first want to just extend myself out there and say, hey, I have this idea. I also am connected to this thing. What matches with your agenda and how we could work together? And I like that you're keeping it wide open. Wide open. Yeah. And let's see. Okay. Would appreciate any feedback on this. Wasn't sure if I should keep the testimonials or if it would be wise to cut in a clip of my presentation so they can see you doing the razzle dazzle. Okay. So this is difficult to do without a visual, but I'm going to read her email that she's thinking about sending to this person. And then I'm going to do a few text tweaks to the language, but more a rearrangement of the like sections of it. So hopefully people will be able to follow along with that. First of all, as is, really strong email, like really strong email. You hit all the point. We are finessing on this. This is a very strong email. Not only did you like cover all the things the person would need in a very succinct way, but you also formatted it really nice. Lots of white space, breaking up the paragraphs. Some paragraphs, especially in email, a sentence could be a paragraph. It's really about letting this person absorb this info as easily as possible. Bullet points, white space. And I'll suggest a few more things that will help, I think, with that absorption. So I'm first going to read it as is. Hello, Ben. My name is Ileana Pipes. I'm a television writer and playwright, and also a YNAB, which stands for You Need a Budget, a YNAB super user of 5+ years on a non-traditional income. I hope you'll forgive the cold email from a fellow budget nerd and YNAB fanatic. I'm reaching out because YNAB for Good recently partnered with Abundance Bound, an organization I belong to that provides financial education for freelancers and non-traditional earners. As a longtime member, I recently gave a presentation evangelizing about YNAB to our community, after which 30 people switched over to using YNAB. Here's some of the feedback from my presentation. Quote, I have ADHD and YNAB can make tracking more easy, interesting, and fun for neurodivergence. My ADHD has really been getting in the way of tracking. Quote, my brain hurts whenever I have to make certain decisions that the YNAB seems to do intuitively, like showing me what's left in my category or whether or not I've reached my target. Quote, Ileana spoke to a lot of the issues I'm having with my current and previous tracking system. The money really does feel fuzzy. For years, I've been shouting from the rooftops that YNAB is the perfect tool to help people navigate the roller coaster of a variable income. But I've seen time and time again that non-traditional earners in our community on Reddit, YNAB, and beyond feel like YNAB can never work for them. The market of non-traditional earners is booming. According to the 2022 McKinsey American Opportunity Survey, self-employment surged up from just 2% in 2016 to 36% in 2022, with projections for 2024 exceeding 76 million Americans identifying as independent workers. More people are piecing together their income, whether by choice or necessity, and YNAB isn't reaching this population that needs it the most. I believe YNAB could become the go-to tool for freelancers. As a non-traditional earner who owes my financial well-being to YNAB, I have a deep understanding of the unique opportunities and challenges in the independent worker space. I can offer language, perspective, and education to ensure that YNAB's marketing approach includes freelancers rather than alienating them. Would you be interested in having a conversation with me about how YNAB could better reach communities of non-traditional earners and how Abundance Bound and I might support YNAB in that effort? Thank you for your consideration and for all you do at YNAB as someone who's watched every episode of Budget Nerds and read dang near every blog post. Best, Ileana. And your email signature includes your websites and validates your credits, etc. Strong. Strong, strong, strong. So when I first read it, the thing that I was thinking is, okay, can we make, is there any information in here that we could pull out and put below your signature? Like, hey, there's some stuff below, so that it could just be, so at first glance, it's like, it just feels shorter. It just looks like visually, like I can read this email right now instead of like, oh God, I've got to wait till later to read that long thing. It's not overly long, but there's a section we can move. And then the other question I always have is, how long does it take me to get to the actual ask? You want the ask because the person reading is like, what does she want? What does she want? What does she want? What does she want? And 100%, 100%. Our tendencies, just as humans, Miata does it. I do it. I rewrite some Miata's emails to things, and I've had my sister would rewrite my emails because our tendency is, let me explain. Let me totally like paint the picture for you and like make you understand that I'm not psycho. And then let me ask you what I want. That is normal. However, when a person gets an email, when they have like 16 other emails in their inbox, their first question is, who is this and what do they want? So you just want to kind of deliver that a little higher up, because they know you want something. So just get it out there. Okay. And there's a few, so the some of the other tweaks I'm going to make, it's there's a few things the way you write it, my brain went, like I had to kind of, oh, wait, I was a little confused right there. And we just don't want their brain to do a record scratch at any point. Each paragraph in an email has to make them want to read the next one. And if they record scratch in one, there's an opportunity for them to be like, ugh, too confusing, and just go on. Okay. Hello, Ben. Perfect. My name is Ileana Pipes. I'm a television writer, playwright, and non-traditional earner, dash. And also YNAB super user of 5 years, period. Versus, I'm a television writer and playwright, and also a YNAB super user of 5 years on a non-traditional income. That was like, okay, wait, you are a super user of 5 years. Yeah, I just, I hope you'll forgive this cold email rather than the cold email. I hope you forgive this cold email from a fellow budget nerd and YNAB fanatic. Let me check something. The other thing I check is you get one exclamation point per email. That is the rule.
Thank you.
And you have
To beginning and end.
yeah. So I would save it till the end.
Got it.
Okay. That's just the Christine Oller rule.
No, I think it's a good one.
Because I want to use exclamation points all the time.
Yeah, my mom gets me on that too.
Don't sound like a crazy person. Okay. I'm reaching out because YNAB for good. That's like a thing, right? What is the for good part? That's just
It's
like
their nonprofit arm.
okay. Because YNAB for good recently partnered with Abundance Bound, an organization I belong to that provides financial education for freelancers and non-traditional earners. As a longtime member of Abundance Bound, you have to say it twice because I was thinking, does YNAB have a membership? Like, what does she mean? A longtime member of Abundance Bound, I recently was invited to give a presentation. Because when you say I gave a presentation, I don't know, maybe Abundance Bound has free presentations that anybody can sign up to every 10 seconds. Like, no, I was invited to give a
That's
presentation evangelizing about YNAB to our community, after which I wouldn't use the word evangelizing because you've already said you're a fanatic and we don't want too many like big, exciting words like that. because there's no tone to emails. They don't know your tone and they just mean like, okay, maybe we don't want her talking to us. Although it was very good. Like the fact that you hit them with that great result, meaning I just made you money. That is the best fucking thing. The best thing you can say in an email is I already made you money. And the second best thing is I know how to make you money. And you have both in this. So it's a really great pitch. So, but you don't always have the I've already made you money. So the I want to make you money is the next best thing. Okay. But that came at an appropriate hit is I was invited to give a presentation, introducing people. I would say that I was recently invited to give a presentation introducing YNAB to our community, after which 30 people switched over to using YNAB. Single sentence, next paragraph, single sentence. I've included some feedback from my presentation below. Okay, so everybody put a pin in that, and we're going to talk about that below, which is going to be like kind of like a PS, except we're not using the PS. Okay, so that takes out that whole paragraph
Yeah.
of testimonials, which are important, by the way. Okay, so we go then. Yes, so then we go. I gave a talk, 30 people switched over. For years, hold on, because I moved something else and I want to make sure. Oh, okay. We're that paragraph that said, for years I've been shouting from the rooftops and blah, 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 blah. That's going down with the testimonials as well. And I'll tell you why when I get down there. So we're going to go from I gave a presentation, 30 people switched over. The market of non-traditional earners is booming. Stats, that whole paragraph, great. So that paragraph, which is the one, two, three, four, fifth paragraph, is now becoming the third paragraph. And then you're hitting them with a one sentence again, with exposure within the right communities, YNAB can become the go-to tool for freelancers. When you started that with, I believe YNAB could become, first of all, you don't have to write, I believe, because this whole email is what you believe. So it's much stronger to be like, hey, here's the pitch. With the right exposure in the right circles, YNAB could become the go-to tool for freelancers. Boom, single sentence. Next paragraph. Would you be interested in having a conversation with me about how your company, put your company, because you've said YNAB a lot, or whoever this person with, if it's not their company, with, oh, you can put, it's not the right conversation with me about how YNAB could better reach communities of non-traditional earners and how abundance abound, and I might support you in that effort. That's the ask. So we've now really brought that ask up a little higher. Then after that paragraph, as a non-traditional earner who owes my financial well-being to YNAB, I have a deep understanding of the unique opportunities and challenges in the independent worker space, and I can offer this and this and this. So you're saying, would you like to have a conversation with me? This is why you should, because I think I'm can, and I think that I would actually add this to that. I would add to that one sentence, with exposure within the right communities, YNAB can become the go-to tool for freelancers. And I think having someone like me helping you make that possible, or somebody with my enthusiasm and expertise helping you tap into this rich vein of profit I think, and I think having someone with my enthusiasm and expertise on your side can help you tap into that rich vein of income that I think is waiting for you. I would just say that you can do this, and if you have me on your side, it can happen. And then the next thing is, would you be interested? Next paragraph, would you be interested in having a conversation? And then you follow up like, hey, I can offer this and I can offer this and I can offer this. Thank you for your consideration. So are you tracking all of that?
Yeah.
So then, best, Ileana, make sure, yeah, so you and your email signature includes your email and your phone number and all that good stuff. So then down right now, is your email signature, my email signature has like kind of this long column. So sometimes I put things after it, but sometimes I put things before it. So is your email signature like kind of just a few lines, or is it a little chunky?
It's like my name, she, her, and an email, and my website, and that's it. So it's very short and small.
Right. So then below your signature, you kind of put in like all caps bold, feedback from my presentation. Okay. And then you put the quotes, doop-a-doop, all three of them. And because it's in the PS, you can put a little space between. In the email, you didn't have spaces between each quote. You can afford now to put spaces. And then you say, right after that, for years, I've been shouting from the rooftops that YNAB is the perfect tool to help people navigate the roller coaster of a variable income. But I've seen time and again that non-traditional earners in our community on Reddit and beyond feel like YNAB can never work for them. But I know, oh, period, work for them, period, new sentence. But I know it can be a game changer for them. And I'd love to help you with this. And so what's great about bringing those quotes down and bringing that paragraph down is you're basically doing your pitch twice. And sometimes when people are like skimming an email, they read what's at the bottom first. That's why PSs are really great. People will read a PS before they actually read an email just because it's like curious, what's the fucking PS? So even if they don't read your email and they just read, oh, feedback from my presentation, these people were great. She can, oh, now I want to go back and read what she's actually saying. So it's like you get to give the pitch twice.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to read this. I know you're like, everyone's like, again, to hear my lovely voice. I just want to read it the way I wrote it so that you can just get an idea of the flow altogether. Hello, Ben. My name is Ileana Pipes, and I'm a television writer, playwright, and non-traditional earner, and also a YNAB super user of 5+ years. I hope you'll forgive this cold email from a fellow budget nerd and YNAB fanatic. I'm reaching out because YNAB for Good recently partnered with Abundance Bound, an organization I belong to that provides financial education for freelancers and non-traditional earners. As a longtime member of Abundance Bound, I was recently invited to give a presentation introducing YNAB to our community, after which 30 people switched over to using YNAB. I've included some feedback from my presentation below. The market of non-traditional earners is booming, according to the 2002 McKinsey opportunity, blah, 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 and the present 76 million. More people are piecing together their income, whether by choice or necessity, and YNAB isn't reaching this population that needs it the most. With exposure in the right communities, YNAB can become the go-to tool for freelancers. And having someone like me, someone with my enthusiasm and expertise on your team, could help you tap into that rich vein of income, of additional income. Would you be interested in having a conversation with me about how YNAB could better reach communities of non-traditional earners and how Abundance Bound and I might support YNAB in that effort? As a non-traditional earner who owes my financial well-being to YNAB, I have a deep understanding of the unique opportunities and challenges in the independent worker space. I can offer language, perspective, and education to ensure that YNAB's marketing approach includes freelancers rather than alienating them. Thank you for your consideration and all you do. Da-da. And then feedback from my presentation. Good quote, good quote, good quote. For years, I've been shouting from the rooftop, blah, 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 but I know it can be a game changer and I'd like to make it that possible. I'd like to help you make that possible. Yeah.
Thank you, Christine. This rocks.
Awesome. Okay. I'm so excited for you. And I'm, though, when I read it this last time, and I debated about this, would you be interested in having a conversation with me about how YNAB could better reach communities of non-traditional earners and how abundance-bound and or I might support? I want them to know that you're not necessarily, like, there's options here. Okay.
I just say and how I might support you in this effort, and then on the call, get a vibe, and then maybe bring it up then.
Yeah.
Like, just cut Abundance Bound from that sentence and say how I might support you in that effort.
Yeah. Because you've already said you're connected to Abundance Bound, so it's like, and they've connected to Abundance Bound too.
The nonprofit arm has. They're different from the company.
Okay. Yep. Then that, if they're different, then I would put the I.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
Thank you, Christine. This is so much better.
Oh, I'm so happy. It is. But also, you made it really easy because that was a super strong email. I was just basically rearranging things and like catching little points. So
thank you.
So Sheila asked, Sheila's not here. She's a cash flow cat. She does marketing for theater companies. So the good news is the reason she's not here is she's performing in a show. Best excuse not to be here is actually doing billable work or performing, and hopefully she's getting paid, but you know, for doing your thing that all this cash flow is there to support. So I'm perfectly happy that she's not here. And she wrote, the venue where I'm performing could be a future marketing client. So that's really cool because she markets to theater companies. So here's what she wrote. In recent years, I had been employed as a marketing manager for a small to mid-sized theater company in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was laid off at the end of 2024 due to budget concerns. The company was downsizing as grant funding contracted. I'd also been doing some volunteer marketing for a theater collective as part of my collective membership service. Since then, the collective has begun to explore the possibility of growth and actually paying staff. And I have some potential opportunities for freelance marketing for other theater companies in the region. I could use some coaching on creating a pitch for my freelance marketing work. I know the hourly rate that I was paid as an employee, and I'm not sure how to translate that into a package as a freelancer. And also, you know, give myself a raise. I'm not available to attend today's sessions, but I'm curious what questions would you have for me so that I can come prepared for more with more information next time you attend a live session. Great question. Sheila, we can totally talk about like the rate and the package. And, you know, once I hear like your hourly rate as an employee and what you would need if you were doing this freelancing and all of that kind of stuff. And the main thing I would want you to think about, and so you would come to a conversation with me about, considering what we just talked about with Ileana. So what Ileana is basically saying to a company is, I see you're underutilizing or you're not attending to this gap in your, you know, clients. I see an opportunity and I can fill it. And here's some proof that I can fill it. I'm excited. I have some ideas. I really think this is like possible. So when you're going out to clients, you're really saying, here's how this benefits you. And here's what I can see about what you're like, since you're a marketer, you would be like, here's what I see about how you've been approaching marketing. Here's the strengths, but here's something I think you're missing, or here's something I think that could be expanded upon to really reach this. And the thing about Ileana's proposal and pitch is that she's clear on what that I know how to expand this for you, and I know that if you do, it will likely generate new users, which is what YNAB wants. So you want to be clear on whether you're marketing the theaters or other kinds of business. It's like, this is how it will help your bottom line. Because marketing is this weird thing. People know they need it. They don't really know what it is necessarily. And the it's hard sometimes to like go, oh, well, we spent this money on this ad, and how much money did it actually bring in? How many seats did it actually fill? I mean, we're paying you to do this. And that's something you can't promise, but it's hard for people to draw a very straight line between the return on investment with marketing, which is why it's one of the first things that kind of gets dialed back or try to be done on the cheap. So you want to be able to be like, this is how it would help, and this is the ways in which it helped, or here's how you're not looking at it. Or I think that, you know, you've been what the conversation like 10 years ago in all the theaters were like, oh shit, all our ticket holders, like the subscription holders, are old. We're not bringing in the young. And so they had to like brainstorm about how are we going to reach a younger audience? What are the things we're going to do? And I'm sure the people who are helping with that marketing pointed out to them, it's like, so we noticed that a lot of theater people are older, and I bet you want to bring in some new people. We've got great ideas about how to bring in new people. We could do this and this. You've been doing this, but I bet if we did it more, like they said, we can help you with this specific thing that we notice is a missing piece. So I want you to think about how you would, what your little pieces of your pitch to a new client would be, not only if it was a theater client, but I think it would behoove you to be like, I could also do marketing for this type of business or person, and I can also do marketing for this. I would like you to have multiple, like niches of people you can like specialize in, because you know everybody's money is going to grant money is going to be cut. Theater is a nice to have, it's not a must have, and we are entering a time where people are going to be spending less on that. So I'm concerned if that's if the theater world is your only specialty, that that might just get tighter and tighter. And your skills are absolutely transferable to other industries. So I would like you to like, what are two other ones that you could do the same kind of pitching to? And you can use all the wonderful success you've had with the theater world and apply it to the other stuff, like in terms of like your credentials and quality of work, and all of that translates too. So that's the conversation I would like to have with you. And I brought it in on time. We had a stack, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be tough, but I'm a professional. Oh.
You rock, Christine. And people ask great questions.
Yes. I mean, it was, I said to myself too, I'm like, ooh, I get so excited because the questions get more and more sophisticated, not just in like as certain people are growing, but even the kittens, the cash flow kittens, are asking questions in an elevated way. We're not just asking like basic stuff that was covered in the cash flow material. These are more intricate questions. I love it. I love it. Sheila, I thought, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I thought I saw your hand up early in this call, and I just wanted to circle to see if you had a question, because we do have like a minute or two or five.
Oh, I'm all good. I'm still
Okay.
learning, like I even today, like what a kitten, cat, tiger is. But I was curious the material. So there's a series of videos that I should be watching. I didn't even realize that.
Oh yeah, as a well, it's not videos, but as a cash flow member,
Yes.
I wrote the Creating Cash Flow course, for lack of, you know, so it's a you can read it as a transcript. The
Cool.
full transcript is there, and I also recorded it on audio in case you wanted to listen to it on audio. And there's a little workbook and some resources. So
Awesome.
that covers everything I learned in my own journey building my own business. And it answers a lot of questions and also gives you an idea of how I approach things. And then based off that material, we can be like, oh, well, let's apply. How does this apply to your specific set of circumstances?
Cool.
Because the reason that exists is because I like to coach. I don't like to teach. I don't like to teach. I don't like to lecture. I like to interact and do personalized guidance, applying to, broader people, of course. I want everybody to learn from each thing we're talking about, but teaching bores me. I'm like, I would like to write it once and move on. So,
Cool.
yeah.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you for
welcome.
the link, Kate. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, guys, go forth and enjoy the week ahead. And
Thank you, Christine. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
thank you, Beth, for fighting the good fight.
Yay.